Okay, in Isaiah 40, we'll read verse 25 and 26. And I think Luke is the only place. There are a couple of more places here in Isaiah that I want you to read with me. But I want to speak to you on that first phrase in verse 26, lift up your eyes on high. Would you unite your hearts together as we seek our Lord? Our Father, you told us that if we seek, we shall find. That we can ask whatever, if it's in accordance to thy will, and you will hear. And Lord, just knowing a little of thee, you will not stop up these young people's ears at the time being, but they can. But it doesn't end with them. I have to fight all kind of voices going through my head. And these sitting on the pews, my Father, hearing ears come from thee, seeing eyes also. I pray that you might give these, those ears that hear, those eyes that see, and that heart that understands. And I pray that somewhere, hopefully not far down the road, that they can enter knowingly in what we sang today. Lord Jesus, thou art worthy. The pain, the anguish, the agony, the price. Something we'll never know. We just taste here and there along the way. But Father, would you give us the Spirit that Christ Jesus might be lifted, exalted in our gathering today, and that thy great name be honored, and that you'd be gracious to these dear souls. Everyone here, each individually, mean much to me. My Father, draw them that Christ will mean much to them. And receive all the honor and glory. In his name we pray. Amen. Beginning with verse 25, and I'll linger here some. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Folks, every one of us, each has a problem when it comes to God. And we first have got to get rid of so many thoughts that we have of God that are not right. They're based on human thinking, and human beings have set a God different than the God of the Scripture before people today. But now this is the Lord that is asking you the question. To whom then will you liken me? What's first in your life? What's your God? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. And I can answer that he will not be equal, nor will he be like anything or any other being in the hearts of his children. Might take time to uneducate and get rid of some of their thinking. Did we say, thou art high, exalted, lifted above everything. You have no equal in my heart, Lord. So that's the question, two questions there. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Now he's talking about the heavenly bodies there. But when he asks you or tells you to lift up your eyes, that's not as an astronomer, amazed at all that is in the heavens above us. Lift up your eyes not as a stargazer because you just like to see. Lift them up that you might see creation better. If you believe and hold to creation, which if you do not, you are wrong. But see, what brought the Creator down to human levels and human terms was in 1968, the high court in the land said, you must teach evolution in the schools. But those trying to get it in school books, they approached it in this light. All we want is just a little space alongside creation, and we will list evolution as a theory. It wasn't 30 years after that until creation was out of the school books and out of the classrooms. And evolution was the truth. Now, without the Word of God and eyes to see in this book, man, including me or you, we will all make us an idol. We'll call it God. But if we don't have this book open to us and our eyes to see, we're going to have an idol. You remember Paul and Barnabas, when those there that they had seen some of the miracles rushed upon them and were about to worship them? And they said, the gods have come down among us like men. And they call Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius. That in the heavens has come down in the form of man, the reason being their ability to work these miracles. Paul rushed in among them and said, stop. But see, another sad thing alongside this is, even with the word, religion has formed their own God. And without taking a poll, but yet taking one, they want to know what God does people like? What God can we present that will not be offensive? What God can we talk about that might make them want to come to Him? Well, our Lord said now, when you're looking up into the heavens, take good heed unto yourself, because you saw no similitude that day I came down in fire. And don't let anything above, as far as visibility, don't make a god out of anything above. And then He'll bring it down later to no god out of anything upon the earth. I've told you this quote before of Mr. Tozer. If God is not the biggest being, an object in your world, you have nothing to say that I want to hear. That's how big His God was. And that's what He wanted to hear from people. Now, verse 25, who are you going to set alongside me that will be like me, or that will be equal to me? Now, just keep your place, but look over to 46. Question is asked again, verse 5. To whom will you liken me? Make me equal and compare me that we may be like. Now, right before that question, here's what God had to say to the children. And even to your old age, I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. You got this God that has made that promise to His people, and then He asked them, now, you going to pull somebody alongside me to make equal with me? There's no God that's going to do that for you if you reach old age and don't get around good. I'll have you. I'll keep you. I'll sustain you. Now back to chapter 40 here in Isaiah, where we are. Again, God sets something of His greatness before you. Isaiah 40. Verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? How many drops do you think you could carry in your hand and be there after you walked a tenth of a mile? Nobody can measure the water. And who hath meted out heaven with a span? Just like you putting that clean sheet you've washed back on your bed, and you spread it out and you fluff it up a little bit, and then you just sling it across your mattress. God said, I just meted out heaven with that span, just like you spreading a sheet. I comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. I know the weight of the hills and the mountains. I measured the waters in the hollow of my hand. And with just me spreading out my hands, everything in heaven was made. Now, who are you going to find like me? Who, young people? Who's going to take care of ye when there's no one else left in the family? You're all alone. Well, God will, if you are his child. Now, I know you as young, you don't like to think about that. None of us do. But there's going to come a time that you're going to be alone. God take the wife, or God take the husband. The children all move off into different states. Other side, the states. Look what I can do. Look what I have done. When you lift up your eyes on high and tell me who can you make, even in your mind, not in the woodshop, who can you make like me? In Psalm 147, you can read later, he telleth the number of stars. He just looks up there. Nobody can do that. Doesn't matter what telescopes they've got pointed where, how high they get those other telescopes in the satellites, it doesn't matter. Nobody can tell the number of stars. Our Lord is of great power, and his understanding is infinite. Who are you going to liken me to? Well, you sitting here and you say, well, we have made no images. We have no other gods before us. Well, listen, most, even of God's children today, they talk about how good he is, what he has done for them. But it's rare to find one just talk about who God is. His being, his character, his loveliness. Among 10,000, none like him. My great treasure. But everybody's talking about what God has done for me. What God will do for you. What do you want from a husband or from a wife? What? Well, care for you. Look after you. No, I'm talking about in them. I'm talking about in their person. What do you want? What type character do they have? Now, folks, the Lord is a jealous, very jealous God, and he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me in Exodus chapter 20. He, being a jealous God, and having purchased, if you are his children today, having purchased you at a great price, will permit no rival in your head or in your heart. None. The old song, nothing between my Lord and me. Go with me, holding, keeping your place here, but go with me to Luke 14. God will permit no rivals. The greatest of your love, God will have no rival. In verse 25, there's a large crowd gathered with him. There went great multitudes with him. And he turned about and said unto them, you talking about asking them a question or making a statement to them that will keep them following him like most today. He didn't. Verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Such language makes even Christians a little nervous. For the scripture teaches us there's no Christian husband or Christian wife, father or mother that ever hated the one living with him or her. They never hated their children. They never showed disrespect. They loved, they honored. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit unto your husband as unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then we get beyond the immediate family. And one of the greatest gifts God can ever bestow on you, second to your friendship with God, is a true friend. Listen to the beloved disciple in 3 John. He writes to Gaius. He says, well beloved, whom I love in truth. Paul, Barnabas, strongly attached for a while. Now, there's a verse in Isaiah. I won't ask you to turn, but it says, can a woman forget her suckling child? And I wondered for a little while why the Spirit of God did not use the word mother. And it's because of this. A woman, yes, she may, the Lord said. But if you ever get a mother, she can't ever forget her children. So it is not the use of your affections, but it is the abuse of them. When your love for a family member blocks out your love for Christ, he's told you to love those in your family, honor, obey. But he also said, I will not have a rival in your heart. I am to be first. Now lift up your eyes. The eyes of most people, I fear even professing and even Christians in this day, are on a horizontal plane. They see people. They see money. They see their goals. They see their ambitions. They see, this is best for me. I'm going to turn right there because that'll be best for me. God said, stop and lift up your eyes. Get them off the trail and the path you're walking, and look to the heavens. See the creation which speaks of the Creator. Look at Him. Well, He brings out the host by their numbers, calls them all by name, by the greatness of His power, His goodness, His might is strong because of His power. And there's not one thing above that fails. Now, folk, have you ever stood outside, just had a little break outside on a cool winter night? And the stars above you are so numerous that if you stuck up your little fingernail, you would hide a star or more. That's how numerous they are. The light coming from these, because of their number, is such that you can see to walk around outside. And some are so far away that the light you see when you look up again, that star may have burned out thousands of years ago. That's how far away from the earth. I mean, if the sun went out this second, we still would have 8 minutes of light. And the sun's 93 million miles away, and it takes it 8 minutes to get here. Can you imagine a star that far away? And yet not one has failed. The number, the vastness of the number, the magnitude, it staggers the strongest of minds. And the dictionary has not enough words to use to describe it. But we are so absorbed in our own little space, me and mine, that we never can see outside our space, much less look up. Most have their minds so engrossed in activity below, goals to achieve, legitimate responsibilities that you are under as a mother and father, wife or husband, working jobs to make ends meet. And these things can become like a prison to you. They'll keep you shut in. And you'll be in that isolated cell where you never can look up. Though you're walking out in the open, just life's got you bogged down so. Your eyes are just on a level plane. Answer this question to yourself. What is it that occupies your mind when you've got a few minutes? I didn't say long. What occupies your mind when you've got a few minutes just to relax? Nobody needs anything from you. Where does your mind go? Are we so busy that to get a few minutes to relax, we can't let things around us go? I mean, when nobody needs anything from you, how old is the day before you think of God, or the week? Now this week, one of the mornings, And this is rare, very rare. You've all heard the statement, stop and smell the roses along the way. Well, that was taken, paraphrased, from a line of a golfer, I do not remember his name, in his autobiography. And what he said there was, don't hurry, don't worry, be sure to smell the flowers along the way. Now there are some games, few, that only an individual can be in. Golf is one. I think that's one of the plainest to me. And I'm no golf fan. I don't watch the golf tournaments. But just think with me a moment. A golfer is on the 18th green, and he's got a 30-foot putt that if he sinks this, he wins the tournament and millions. It's a big tournament. What is his state of mind standing there on that green? Is it the prize money? Don't think so. Is it the crowd that would cheer him on when he makes this? I don't think so. There's nothing in his head except having read that green. Nothing else now except his golf ball going in the cup. Nothing. Well, occasionally, I'm there, not on the golf course, no, sitting at my desk. There's nothing below, nothing around, and you might be wanting to have me committed. I'm not on the ground. Oh, I'm aware of that, but I'm just making the point. And I'm walking down this path that's got the most beautiful array of flowers, roses on both sides. But I'm walking with my best friend. And I sat in that place in a holy hush. I didn't want anything to disturb. And I sat there with just my Lord. And my mind and my heart was in no place, but right there with him. And I think that's what, though he wasn't with the Lord, but I think that's what the golfer had in mind. Just take time out and quit hurrying and quit worrying and just take a little time to smell the flowers along the way. Young folk, life's going to be gone before you turn around good. Don't rush through it. Isaiah 40:26, after lift up your eyes, there's another word, behold, which means to consider, to become aware of, or conscious of something. Behold, the one that created these things. Now go back to Isaiah 35 and verse 4. Well, it'd be wrong to jump down to verse 4. Verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees, and say to them that are of a fearful heart. And I know I'm speaking to one, two, half a dozen. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold your God. Just stop and behold. Lift up your eyes. Get them off this old world. Even your own life that takes so much out of you through the workload that is on you. And behold, those of you that are coming to understand a little of his power, his might, his infinite wisdom, infinite understanding. When trials and tribulation and anguish of heart begin to creep in and take hold, look up. And behold, he who created these things, not one of them will fail. He that has kept all the stars in their rightful place until their purpose had been accomplished, he kept them all. How much more his sheep? I know you have trouble. I know you have anguish of spirit at times. But behold your God. God's bigger than your problems. And I don't know if your mind it works like mine, but sometimes it runs ahead. This is going to be a problem. The bridge is going to be out on that road I take. Well, look at your Creator. Behold him. He calls them all by the greatness of his power. That's all I want you to see there. Now Isaiah 43. And I try to stay aware of the time, folk, because I know I'll lose you if I go too long. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Please read down through, at least down through verse 4 or 5 sometime this afternoon. For the sake of time, that's all I'll read. Of the vastness of the stars in glory, God calls them all by name. But what about the sheep? Every sheep Every converted person was converted on an individual level. There might have been several thousand when Peter stood up to preach, or several hundred back in the 1700s here in America, and 1800s, might have been hundreds, but God called them as an individual. Every one in that thousand had a word spoken in their heart. I'm not talking about a voice that is hearable with these two ears, but they heard in their heart. And Jesus said in John 10, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring. But in verse 3 of that chapter, it says, his sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. When you go to God, it's just God and you, Christ and you. And when you worship, it's not this church, it's you as an individual. And if we ever get everybody as worshipers, then the church will be included in the you. Because his own sheep, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Say on, Lord. Well, a man had one owed him 500 pence and another owed him 50, and he frankly forgave them both. Of those two, which do you think loved him the most? Well, I suppose, Lord, the one that he forgave the most. You're right. Peter, the cock will not crow this night before thou hast denied me thrice by name. And if not one of the host above shall ever fail, how much more secure are his sheep? Just in my lifetime, due to the advancement of space travel, satellites, the universe keeps increasing more and more. But instead of human beings seeing the infinite God in what appears right now to be an infinite universe, instead of men seeing God and his revealing his power and mind and wisdom and magnitude, all it's done is magnify man. Man's got this great mind. Look what he's done. Look what he's built. Look what he can now explore. Well, why shouldn't it be about man when about all you hear in church buildings has to do with men? I include women in that. What great things God has done for you. But it's the emphasis on done for you. Not on God doing. And everybody leaves happy. Everybody leaves feeling good because the preacher dare not mention anything that might cause somebody to leave with a concerned heart. It's gaiety, it's laughter. He dare not stand there and say to his congregation, examine yourself, make certain you're calling an election. They don't deal with stuff like that. I shouldn't have used the word stuff there. Precious doctrines. Folk, it would scare the onlookers to death In most places, if a good old deacon or song leader or the Sunday school teacher would cry out, "Pray for me, I might not be a Christian," preacher probably would be in the greatest shock. But you see what's taking place out there and why everything centers on man. Wouldn't it be a shock to any congregation where there was a holy hush fell? Wouldn't it? Because God was there and His presence so real, nobody dared speak. Not today. Not today. Folks, as an ignorant young preacher, I saw a man sitting on the second pew to my right, looking down, that was just about in fits, not knowing what to do. I mean, under conviction. And that's when I was ignorant about these great things of God. And I've seen others, not many, but a few others at times, that I knew God was working in their hearts. Not today. Sadly, most of us can leave feeling good about ourselves, though we haven't had dealings with God since the day we, quote, accepted Jesus, unquote. The preacher's message centers on man. And God said, "Look up." The preacher preaches a message directed to no one, because all in the congregation are considered to be saved. I can't remember, it was Mr. Spurgeon talking about a preacher he knew and another one that was visiting. And he said, when the visiting preacher stepped down out of the pulpit, that the pastor there said that was an excellent sermon, but somewhat misguided, because there's not an unconverted soul in this house. I've been in a good number of churches, but yet to find everybody in that church a Christian. I won't call his name. You know him well, a friend of mine, yours too. He often preached, probably 3 times a year at least. He'd call and say, "I'm free, preacher." I said, "Well, how about just coming on up here? Be there." And he was telling me about another mutual acquaintance, and he heard him say, "We have reached 100% saved people in our congregation now." He didn't say that, but our friend, his hearing wasn't getting the best. But what he was talking about was all of us strive for 100% converted souls. He had never been in a congregation. We talked about it. We're all were saved. Children, and all here, if you don't take a little time to figure out your state, your condition, and make use of that you hear, maybe in this there were two or three sentences that you really understood, maybe. Now, if you don't put to use something that stood out in your hearing, then that you hear will become less and less and less. So all of you, lift up your eyes and behold your Creator. Get quiet just a few minutes. That's all I'm asking of you to start with. Now, I know you say, well, you got all day. Me, I've got this, that, and the other. Yes, and I understand that. I realize that. I'm not preaching at you. But just get still long enough. Or look up at night and see creation. And as far as you can see, and as far as that last light has gone out there, light years away from the earth. God's out there, but God is with you as a Christian. If you'll seek Him, you shall find Him. You quieten the heart and still the mind long enough to behold your Creator and give thanks for your salvation. And let us begin, or let us increase in this, gathering to honor this great God and become a worshiper, because of our Savior. God, help us all to walk with Him, find Him first, walk with Him, and serve Him. And always, always go where you can hear. If you can't hear from God, hear. Wherever you can hear, it's all I can ask of you.